Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on today's program is Robert Stephen Kaplan, professor of management practice at the Harvard Business School and co-chairman of Draper Richards Kaplan Foundation, the global venture philanthropy firm. Prior to joining Harvard in 2005, he was vice chairman of Goldman Sachs Group. And he's author of the book, What to Ask the Person in the Mirror, Critical Questions for Becoming a More Effective Leader and Reaching Your Potential. Rob, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave.
So, Rob, what are the most important questions we should be asking?
Most important one is, are you open to asking questions? Many leaders believe when you become very senior and you become a leader that the time for asking questions is over, maybe because you can't, maybe because you think people expect you to have all the answers. Maybe you're afraid it's going to show weakness to ask questions.
Sure.
It's not a sign of weakness to ask a question. It's a sign of strength. So the first hurdle is, am I open to learning? And am I open to asking questions? If you are, that's half the battle. Then there's a series of questions beyond that I would suggest asking. But the most important one is, am I willing to engage myself and others in asking questions?
Right. So why is it important?
Well, the person in the mirror is you.
Sure.
There's a lot of things leaders need to do, but the most important thing leaders need to do is manage themselves. And that is a lot harder than it sounds, because in order to do that, you don't need to have all the answers, but you do have to be open to learning, and you do have to ask the right questions.
Now, in the book, you have this concept of time and prioritization. What's behind that?
My definition of a leader is anyone who tries to figure out what they believe and then has the courage to act on it. By that definition, you don't need to manage anyone to be a leader. Or alternatively, you can manage thousands of people and be a fine manager, but not a leader. Therefore, if you are a leader, what is your vision? What is your aspiration for the business or the nonprofit or the job you're doing? You have one. And I assure you, all the people who work with you have one.
Right.
So can you write it down? Can you explain it? Can you articulate it? That's step one.
Right.
Second part is, what are my top three priorities? What are the three most important tasks I must do extremely well to achieve that? I've got to start with those two questions before I can talk about time management.
Why is that?
Unless you know what your vision and priorities are, it's pretty hard to know how to manage your time. Answer those questions first. Then you know how to manage your time, and about 70% of your time needs to match those priorities. It doesn't need to be 100%. Nobody can do 100%. That would be just too perfect. You see, the reason a lot of people don't manage their time well is they aren't clear on a vision, they aren't clear on their priorities, so they don't have a goal to manage their time to. You can't manage your time in isolation. It has to be relative to something. Therefore, if people will just focus on the vision, force themselves to think through their top priorities, and then try to match their time, that's going to help them improve dramatically.
Right. Now, the parallel issue to this is learning to say no.
None of us is very good at saying no. When somebody comes and asks me to do something, I'm flattered. I feel loved. It's a nice thing to be asked to do something. Or maybe I think that I haven't thought enough about my priorities, so I hate to give up this thing or that thing because it might be very important. The reason you come up with priorities and you focus on matching your time is it gives you a way to filter out what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. And it gives you the strength to do that thing you hate to do, which is to say no.
Let's take a look at another issue, and that's feedback.
Giving or receiving feedback requires something very critical, and that's observation. If I'm going to give somebody feedback, I need to observe them, and then I need to pick one or two skills or actions I see them taking they need to improve on. And then third thing, I need to give them advice on how to improve on it. The reason leaders get in trouble is when they're junior, they receive that type of observation. There's always somebody watching them. Most of us, when you become very senior, we don't have anybody senior observing us. But I'll tell you who is observing you: your subordinates and your peers and people you're working with.
Right.
You have coaches all around you. You just don't know it, but they're likely your subordinates. Your subordinates are your most important potential coaches. And if you don't go to them, you're going to be highly isolated, They have lots of great advice, lots of great feedback.
Absolutely.
Eventually, that feedback will find its way into your year-end review. It'd be better if you heard it first so that you can take actions to improve.
Sure.
Your job is to take ownership of going and getting it.
Right. But how do you do that?
You've got to meet with people one-on-one. You're not going to get honest feedback in a group. Nobody wants to give you criticism in front of other people. Mm-hmm. They're probably right. You've got to ask them specifically, can you give me one suggestion on how I can improve? Now, the first response will be, nothing I can think of. And they'll hope the meeting's over.
Right.
And then you have to push a little harder and say, no, I'm really serious. I want one thing. Now they're sitting there. Then they think, oh my God, what do I say now? It's not that they don't have feedback to give you. They do. They're trying to decide right then and there whether or not to say it. If you just be patient and wait, don't end the meeting. They'll give you the feedback. Now, I'll warn you in advance, when they do give you that feedback, it will be devastating to you. The person will immediately regret having said it. Your job will be to thank them, not make them feel bad. You will probably call home and say to friends or loved ones, am I really like this? And they'll stop on the other end of the line and they'll say, yeah, that does sound like you.
Ooh.
And then you'll realize you got a big problem. And the reason I said it's devastating is you'll realize it's true. You'll realize everybody thinks it, and you realize you got some work to do. But the benefit is, if you do that enough, you'll work on it, and you'll train your people to give you advice.
Right.
And by the way, This is how you evaluate people as leaders. If somebody can't give you coaching, or they're always just giving you happy talk, but they can never give you feedback, they aren't leaders. I train people that work with me. That's a positive thing. Because their job is to take ownership along with me. If I'm going to own this business alone, it's going to be pretty lonely. So I teach people, you own it with me. Part of owning it with me is speaking up when there's a problem. And you train people that one of the things you're looking for is the ability and willingness to speak. Remember my definition of leadership? Searching for what you believe and having the courage to act on it. This is a great example of that. If they're willing to give me advice, that's leadership. I'm looking for leaders. I want to promote leaders. And they realize That's part of my prism. They're reinforced for it, and they realize how to do it.
And part of a leader's responsibility is to undertake succession planning.
Yes, that's right. But most people feel insecure and say, if I'm training somebody to take my job, then I'm going to be vulnerable and I might lose my job. I would say the opposite. I do succession planning purely out of selfishness, in that if I'm trying to build a successful business, or a nonprofit, or anything, I need help. I can't do it alone. Leadership is a team sport, whether you like it or not. And you have to play it like a team sport, or else you're going to get yourself clobbered out there on the field.
Right.
Succession planning means, who do I delegate to? I talked about matching your time with your priorities. You can't do that if you don't have somebody to delegate to. You have to delegate the things that shouldn't be your priorities, but could be theirs. And in order to do that, you have to pick people who could potentially take your place.
So I would assume that succession planning is extremely important.
It's extremely important. Most companies don't do it very well. Every company has a succession planning exercise. The problem is, after they do it, they put it in a drawer and they don't do anything with it.
Right.
You got to do more than do the plan. You then need to take the people whose names are on that chart and give them assignments. Ask them for feedback. Mm-hmm. I talked in the book about the clean sheet of paper exercise, where you're looking at your business and deciding what strategically you should do differently. Those are the people you put on a task force and give that exercise. You'll get fabulous advice from them.
I think you're absolutely right. And clearly, what you've been talking about is a new kind of role model for a leader.
In some ways, it's new. In some ways, it's very old. The great leaders do these things. And when I say great, It's people who build a sustainable business. I'm not talking about somebody who has 3 years of profitability and then erodes. I'm talking about the great sustainable leaders. And look at the great companies out there who've been great for a long time. I'll bet you'll find leaders who have been doing exactly what I just said consistently. Find a company that was great and is now eroding, has lost their reputation. Everybody's wondering why. It's because they have stopped doing these things, and that's why they're having trouble.
And I would also think that a factor is corporate culture.
Yes. The person in the mirror is you. But as a leader, you want the person in the mirror to be everybody who works with you too.
Right.
So you've got to create a culture in your organization where everyone is doing this. People wonder, what creates a great company? Culture. Part of culture is getting people to ask the right questions, take ownership, and do these things.
Right.
That's where you create real strength. Now, not everybody's doing the same job, nor do you want that. Not everybody has the same strengths or weaknesses. What you do want is a culture and a company where everyone looks at their own strengths and weaknesses, is willing to get help and feedback, thinks about their passions, and then your job is to get those people in the right seats. So when I talk about reaching your potential, I'm very careful not to say be a success. Everybody has different potential. And what you try to do as a leader is figure out what each individual's natural potential is and what kind of seat would help them reach their potential. If you do that, you can build a great company.
Of course.
How often have you seen a company where you look at somebody and you say, why are they in that job? They were a great producer. They were great at this. They were great at that. But the company decided to put them in this next job. Why did they do that? The answer may be, well, the natural progression in that company is if you want to succeed, you got to be in this type of job.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real problem. On the other hand, you could say, we've got all sorts of areas of this company, and there's big success stories in all of them.
Sure.
This company is willing to have lots of career paths that lead to success. There isn't just one. What it does is foster an environment where there's lots of ways to reach your potential. Your job is not to get in a specific seat. It's to get in the seat that fits you best. And the company then creates an opportunity to have real diversity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Great companies don't say, I have a need. I don't really give a darn what your strengths and weaknesses are. I'm going to put you in this box. They have a mindset that everyone's trying to reach their potential. And if you do that, you're going to have a diverse group of people and you're likely to build a superb company.
Rob, the interesting thing about your book is that it isn't just for the person who's reading it.
Yeah.
It's also for that person to help his staff.
It's intended to be that. It's a roadmap for you, but it's a roadmap for your staff. And I've even talked to a number of people out there who've said, I'd like to give this to my boss.
No kidding.
Or my customers or my suppliers, because I think we'll work better together if they've read this. So people look at this for themselves, but they look at people all around them.
Okay, to wrap up, do you have any other points you'd like to add?
Yes. First of all, leadership not only can be learned, it has to be learned. No matter how talented you are, you have to learn leadership. Mm-hmm. And the more talented you are, the harder it may be for you. For example, if you're extremely talented, why would you ever delegate? Why would you delegate to somebody who's not going to do it as well as you? Why do you want to do that for? That's an uncomfortable thing. It has to be learned. Second is, I think we've got millions of leaders in this country and certainly in the world.
Right.
The single parent, the person who's a journalist, who is in the police force, who's an entrepreneur, runs a nonprofit. There are millions of them. People say, well, why are we having such trouble in this country if we have all these leaders? They're basically pointing to Washington and the culture of Washington, where they're worried that people are more interested in achieving tactical success than developing a clear vision for the country, clear priorities, and really focusing on those. But I would say people should take heart. I see leaders and I teach them every day. We've got millions of leaders. Leadership is alive and well.
We've been speaking to Rob Kaplan, author of the book, What to Ask the Person in the Mirror, Critical Questions for Becoming a More Effective Leader and Reaching Your Potential. Rob, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
Thank you, Dave.
Are you responsible for creating online content that connects with customers? AMA's new hands-on writing program offers skills, tools, and professional instructor feedback to help you improve your online content and bottom-line results. For more information, visit amanet.org and type 2182 into the search box. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.